This is the BrisNet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa.
Good evening, and welcome to the Breeders' Cup edition of the BrisNet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman and Action Ed DeRosa, live from the beautiful Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. We are on the eve of Breeders' Cup 2021. 5 Breeders' Cup events tomorrow for the 2-year-olds, 9 Breeders' Cup events on Saturday for the older horses. Going to be beautiful weather conditions here at Del Mar in the mid-60s both days. No chances of rain and sunny skies. Ed, it just does not get any better than this.
Nope, that's the draw to Southern California for sure. Very envious that you get to be out there in those conditions for some of the best racing in the world, but rest assured, I'll be involved in the wagering pools at the very least.
We were not worried about that by any stretch of the imagination. It's not a question of if; it's a question of how often and how much, and you know what kind of plays that you're interested in. Of course, the number to call us 888-966-4776. 888-966-4776. Call in. We want to know who you like, who you dislike in the Breeders' Cup, and of course, we'll be getting ideas from Ed all afternoon long. Before we go to the phones, Ed, right now it's time for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. It's an unfortunate headline, but it's one that's true. Domestic spending, United, scratched from Breeders' Cup turf. The November 6th Longines Breeders' Cup turf lost 2 leading American participants today when domestic spending and United were announced by their trainers as scratched from the $4 million race due to physical setbacks. Quote, I came in this morning and unfortunately domestic spending has some inflammation in his left leg, said trainer Chad Brown. He's sound, but it just changed. He's never had anything. I feel more comfortable sending him to Kentucky to get him evaluated. Err on the side of caution. It's very disappointing. I just can't take any chances. I don't have any time to work to potentially get him there looking in mint condition like he always is. I won't run him if he's anything less than that. HRN actually first reported the United scratch daily racing form, the withdrawal of domestic spending via social media. Really, really sad there on both cases. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. And, of course, all the great information that you get every day on Blood Horse. And you can get the Blood Horse Daily directly to your mailbox. Go to bloodhorse.com for all of the information. They really have great action every step of the way and really cover our sport like nobody else. Bloodhorse.com, where you get all of the information. It was actually very unfortunate news this morning, and we broke the news on United being scratched. We actually had trainer Dick Mandela on with us, Jude Feld and myself, on one of our Breeders' Cup countdown shows presented by Hillendale Farms, and we didn't know what was happening and got set to talk to Dick Mandela about the 4 horses that he potentially had in the Breeders' Cup this year. He had 2 on the also eligibles list, 1 tomorrow in the Juvenile Turf Sprint, Bombard in the Turf Sprint Saturday, and then was scheduled to run both Dog Tag and United, tomorrow, and then supposed to run both Dog Tag and United on Saturday, and the first thing, unfortunately, out of Dick Mandela's mouth was that he had some breaking news that both Bombard and United suffered setbacks, and neither of them would be able to run in the Breeders' Cup. Of course, Bombard was also eligible, hoping to get into the Turf Sprint, but United seems to dance every dance these days, especially here on the West Coast. He scratched a few hours later, came out that domestic spending was out of the race. Really a blow for the United States' hopes at winning that Breeders' Cup turf, Ed.
Yeah, it's a significant blow, I would say. Domestic spending was actually my selection to win the race. Definitely thought with Tarnawa in there, we were going to get the right price. If you're a Tarnawa fan, the job got easier, the price got shorter, and I'm shopping elsewhere now.
With the defections of both United and domestic spending, it opens up a chance for Bolshoi Ballet and Channelmaker to draw into the field. So don't know if those are horses that people would use, but they're still going to have a full field of 14 in the Breeders' Cup turf, and unfortunately will not include United or domestic spending. Once again, Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa here on the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open, 888-966-4776, the number to call in if you have any questions or would like just to give your handicapping opinion, good or not, on any of the Breeders' Cup races. And Ed, we would love to hear your opinion, not only handicapping wise, but maybe what you've seen on the coverage of these horses as they prepare for this year's Breeders' Cup. Let's start with tomorrow's races. And you've got a short field in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. You've got a field of really nice two-year-olds, Colts and Geldings in the Juvenile, and what looks like impossible races to handicap in the three turf events.
Yeah, the some tough races. I mean, the Juvenile Fillies is tough, maybe in some regards, because it's not. I mean, Echo Zulu and then after her, Hidden Connection and Good Juju just seem like the very obvious ones and tough to oppose. Whereas in the Juvenile Turf events, you go in any number of, you know, 6, 7, 8 different directions. So that kind of challenging late pick five puzzle, all Breeders' Cup pick five. My best bet is in the Juvenile Turf, though. We'll see if I actually get 6-1. But is it Albar, the pronunciation? Number 2 is all I need to know when I make the bet. But Charlie Appleby, one of his two in there, and I think that's the better of the two. That's definitely one of my bigger leans on Breeders' Cup Friday.
Albar was so impressive last time out in the Summer Stakes up at Woodbine. He was heavily bet that day. He was expected to win, and I think 3-5 at post time, but he did not get out of the gate well at all and was left with a lot to do, and still not only won the race, but won the race very impressively under Frankie Dettori, winning by over 2 lengths. I don't know if he's going to be able to spot this field, that kind of break out of the start. Obviously a much tougher field in the Breeders' Cup than what he saw in the Summer Stakes.
Yeah, no, the waters get deeper, and you know, I've read what Marcus has said, coverage on, you know, all the various places like HRN in terms of just, you know, the runners who have made an impression on the track. And it does sound like, you know, Appleby maybe thinks the mile is his best hope. So, okay, maybe he's not as bullish on his pair in this race, but you are getting 6-1. I think his horse in the mile might end up going favored around 4-1. So to me, this is where the price is. And, you know, I'm not in love with Jack Christopher or Corniche, the two favorites in the Juvenile. So taking a stand in the Juvenile Turf sort of allows you to spread a little bit, maybe in the Juvenile, and then that Juvenile Fillies, you know, I wouldn't begrudge anyone for taking all in there. So to me, the Juvenile Turf is sort of the cagey option to narrow and hopefully catch something earlier on the card.
Well, let's talk back about that Juvenile Fillies. It's just a short but sweet field of 6, which is a little bit surprising for this race. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies is usually a huge field, but there are 3 really, really good fillies in there, and then the other 3 are pretty good, too. It's not like they're that far behind, but Echo Zulu has done nothing wrong in her 3-race career. Hidden Connection has looked fantastic in both of her races, and Juju's Map has also looked great in her last 2 starts, including crushing the field in the Alcibiades. Echo Zulu is bred to handle a distance. She's never been 2 turns in her career, but she figures to get the lead in this race. Is there any chance that any of these other runners, like Juju's Map, maybe Tarabi, if she gets out of the gate well, can challenge Echo Zulu early on?
Certainly possible. It's that weird, and especially with 2-year-olds, I think this gets exaggerated, Bobby. It is that weird spot where I think if you try to challenge Echo Zulu, you're costing yourself the race and maybe her the race as well, but certainly yourself. But if you lay off and think you're going to make a run at her on the turn or down the backstretch or in the straight, she's going to get away from you. So she looks really tough. And I say that as a Hidden Connection fan. those are the only two I want, which, okay, they're the two favorites, so it's not exactly going out on a limb. This, to me, is a tough race as a pick five player, someone who loves that bet. This, to me, is like the trap race of the sequence, because anything beyond Echo Zulu, you're doubling, tripling the cost of your bet. But if you, even if you're just leaning on her, you're not really adding much to it anyway. So to me, this is kind of the pitfall.
You mentioned about how horses going out and trying to challenge Echo Zulu could do so at their peril and really cost them a better chance. Looking forward to Saturday's program, we actually had John Velasquez as one of our guests on an edition of the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillandale yesterday, in fact, and asked him about some of his horses. And let's start with the filly and mare Sprint. He specifically mentioned that Rudy Rodriguez's filly, Bella Sophia, they've been talking all along about how they're going to go out and try to challenge Gamine. And Johnny V made no bones about it. He said, there's been a lot who've tried to challenge her, and it usually works out very poorly for the challengers. So he's not worried about Bella Sophia coming out and going after Gamine. I'm sure he does not want them going head-and-head 21 and change, 43 and change out there. But realistically, is there somebody in this race who can beat Gamine, and what's the best way to do it?
I do think Bella Sophia is the only one. And I vacillated really since pre-entries have come out of, oh, Gamine's vulnerable. Oh, she's invincible. Like, you know, depending on what I'm looking at or the mood I'm in, who knows, maybe it's the tides at Del Mar. You know, I'm back and forth on her, which when you're talking about a horse who's going to be 2-5, if you keep going back and forth, then you know you got to be against. 2-5 is just too short of a price if you're not absolutely certain. To me, Bella Sophia is the only one who's shown an ability to be in her zip code. And, you know, it is intriguing because the way for her to win would be to take it to Gamine. And maybe that backfires. And if it ends up backfiring on both, then you've blown up the whole race. And who knows? So, you know, similar to Echo Zulu, like sort of a tough spot for multi-race players because Gamine doesn't really add anything to the equation for you. But it feels like anything beyond Bella Sophia is just a pure gamble. So for me, I'm just going to lean on Bella Sophia and just kind of have the alternative single in the race.
And don't forget, there are three pick fives Saturday at Del Mar, not just an early and late, but they put a special middle pick five in there. So no matter how short or long the prices are that you like in different races, you can find pick fives if you're a pick five player to include those horses in. And even Gamine, whether you want to take her at what I'm guessing will be about 2-5 at post time, you can use her in pick fives. Now, the very next Breeders' Cup race on Saturday is the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and this race in no way, shape, or form looks like the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. We have a full field set to go 5 furlongs on the turf, and that means a field of 12, including last year's champion, Glass Slipper, is going to try to defend her crown. She won a very roughly run edition of the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint at Keeneland last year, and she's going to have to try to close sprinting on the turf course at Del Mar. The closers do well routing on the turf at Del Mar, but the front runners have been very good in the short races.
Yeah, for this 5 furlong race, which, you know, it's as short as the turf sprint will go, and we've seen distances up to 6.5 furlongs for the turf sprint. I'm with you in terms of, you know, A, I want forwardly placed, and B, I don't love the outside draws in turf sprints at Del Mar with at least 10 horses. I believe it's post 12 is 0-11 and post 1 and 2 are 0-11 each as well. So not a huge sample size, but seems like middle of the track, you know, based on that 0-33 number, the middle of the track, the place to be. Golden Pal is, you know, it seems like he's everyone's favorite against. And I certainly don't disagree. He's not a horse I want even at a sort of middle price for a favorite, but man, Glass Slipper's down on the rail with that closing star. That's a closing style. That's a fade for me. I think A Case of You drawn in the middle is interesting. and Gear Jockey, which, you know, getting out to post 10, I actually think we're going to get a little better than 5-1. These aren't really connections that take a lot of money. So for me, 6 and 10 were kind of the two I'm excited about.
Once again, the phone lines to call in, 888-966-4776. We'll take a break, come back with more here on the BrisNet.com call-in show.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
It's time to prepare for this year's Breeders' Cup, and no website has better study materials than BrisNet.com. Want to get everything you need to handicap the Breeders' Cup World Championships for one low price? Then check out BrisNet's Ultimate Breeders' Cup Handicapping Package at BrisNet.com/plans. For only $25, get all of your favorites for both days, including Ultimate PPs, Picks, and Kelly Riley's International Scouting Report. New this year and included with the package are historical past performances and charts from every Breeders' Cup race since 2011. That's $82 worth of handicapping products, all for just $25. Plus, get 20% off all other Breeders' Cup handicapping reports when you purchase the package. Visit BrisNet.com/plans now and get your Ultimate Breeders' Cup Handicapping Package.
Two-time Horse of the Year, Curlin.
Malathon, back in the win column, and Clairiere will win the Cotillion.
Known Agenda is now on to take over the lead.
Grace Adler, a scintillating performance.
Idol gets up under Joel Rosario to win the big cap.
The leading sire of Grade 1 winners with 5 and co-leading sire of greatest stakes winners with 12. Curlin, the classic sire, standing at Hillendale Farms.
Live racing is back at Churchill Downs October 31st through November 28th with the same strong purses we've had all year, and you are not going to want to miss it. Highlighted by the graded stakes such as the Grade 3 Chalukie, the Grade 2 Falls City, Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club, and the Grade 2 Goldenrod, along with the Grade 1 Clark, this November meet is sure to be full of excitement. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit ChurchillDowns.com. That's ChurchillDowns.com.
Don't miss the Equine Forum every Saturday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN. Mike Penna brings you the latest in thoroughbred racing, featuring interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, exclusive segments you won't hear anywhere else, like In the Room with Sean Clancy, A Stroll Through Racing History with Kurt Becker, and I Ask, They Answer with Tim Wilkin and Dale Romans. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. BrisNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa, one day before the Breeders' Cup 2021. We'll head out to the phones, and our good friend Charles in Mississippi going to tell us one more time not to bet Knicks Go in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Charles, welcome to the show.
Bobby, I know you're not going to bet Knicks Go in the Breeders' Cup Classic, okay? and I'm going to just
not,
tell you exactly.
Enough, Charles.
Hey, Lee. Hey, Ed. Look, I'm going to tell y'all, the biggest bet I'm going to make is I'm going to make a box exacta with Hot Rod Charlie and Essential Quality. I'm going to make probably a $200, $250 box, okay?
All right.
There's no doubt in my mind that that's going to be 1 and 2 in that race. My best long shot of the weekend will be Camara in the 5 furlong turf that y'all been talking about. I love
Amari.
It's just, I don't know. Hello?
Yeah, Kamari breaking from post 9 in the turf sprint on Saturday, race 5 on the card, 6-1 on the morning line for Wesley Ward and Joel Rosario.
Oh, I think you'll get 10. I think you'll get 10 or 15-1 on
him. Well, it's very possible. I think Golden Pal is going to take a lot of action, and everyone else is going to go up in price.
Well, I'm going to just tell you like this. I couldn't bet a nickel on Golden Pal. He's just firmly one of those. I just don't like the way anyway. It's not like I don't have convictions about my horses as a guy.
You just sound like you got pure disgust for Golden Pal, Charles.
No. I just think he's I don't see him 5-2 or 3. You know, when I was looking at the morning line, like Ed was talking about the morning line, you know, essential quality. If you get 3-1 on essential quality in that race, that horse will never see 3-1. Actually, I think that horse will be, if he's not favored, he'll be co-favored, or like Nixco will be like 7-5. He'll be like 8-5.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty strong saying. So if you're thinking that both Nixco and Essential Quality will be bet down to under 2-1, who are the horses that are going to get overlooked? Do you think they're just not going to bet Medina Spirit in the race?
Oh, I don't think they'll bet Medina Spirit. No, and I'll be totally 1,000%. You know, I'm an EQ man, strict EQ man. If he's 8-5 and Hot Rod Charlie's 5-1, I'll have a winning ticket on Hot Rod Charlie. If Hot Rod Charlie is 9-2 or 5-1, he's too much of a. That's just like stealing. That's just like stealing. If you go back and look at his figures, and you got to realize one thing. Nixco has got to give 4 pounds to Hot Rod Charlie, and he's got to give 4 pounds to Essential Quality. And when you look at Hot Rod Charlie and Essential Quality, they've run together their whole life. When you look at their body of, what, 5 races, 6 races, they've been right there together the whole time. Right there. I mean, they're like glue, Bobby. They're just sticking together, okay? The Kentucky Derby, Hot Rod runs 3rd, Essential Quality runs 4th. In the Belmont, Essential Quality runs 1st, Hot Rod Charlie runs 2nd. In the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, 1-2, right? So what makes you think things are going to change this race?
Well, the only thing that could change, the thing that could change in that is that there are other horses who have a chance to beat them both. I'm not saying they will, but there are other talented runners in this field.
Name me a great horse Nick's goes beat. Name me one great that Nick's goes beat.
Well, he did beat Maxfield by 4.5 lengths, and Maxfield's a pretty good horse.
Oh, come on, Bobby. Maxfield, who has Maxfield beat, Bobby?
Well, have any of them beat a great horse in this field?
Huh?
Have any of these horses beat a great horse yet?
Yeah. Essential Quality is, what is he, 9 out of 10? And the only race he lost, he ran 2nd.
And I like Essential Quality, don't get me wrong, but he hasn't beaten anyone, I feel like, that Nick's Go couldn't have beat.
Look. I'm just telling you. You can believe this or not. Nick's Go will not be in the same zip code as these two horses.
Okay. Well, I believe it. I mean Essential Quality is the only horse I'm playing, single, period.
I got you, Ed. Charles, I'm the same way, but Charles, I'm just telling you. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I want to hear this. Go ahead.
Essential Quality, Hot Rod Charlie, when you look at him, go back and look at his body of work. I mean, you cannot throw this horse underneath the bus. And
all right.
I think the way
Charles,
I
want to ask you something, because you obviously have a lot of convictions when it comes to these races. And speaking of the Breeders' Cup Classic, the question that everyone has is, what will the pace scenario be in this race? So what are you envisioning, and where do you think both Essential Quality and Hot Rod Charlie will be during the early part of the race?
I think Hot Rod Charlie will be 3rd. I think Medina Spirit will run. I think if you go look in the way Baffert trains his horses have got to be on the lead. And Nixco is not going to let him go to the lead. They're not going to let. And look, you can judge Medina Spirit's chances by when you watch Life is Good. When you watch Life is Good, you can see if Life is Good just knocks the Breeders' Cup mile to death, then Medina's Spirit's got a puncher's shot to winning this race. And Baffert, he does miracles at a mile and a quarter. I mean, you got to hand him that. But I'm just telling you, I don't think anything can touch Essential Quality. I think the only horse that can touch him is Hot Rod Charlie. I think, and the further they go, I think, is to Hot Rod Charlie's detriment. But, I mean, that's exactly how I'm going to play. I like that Camara, and I told you there's about I don't see anything touching Jackie's Warrior. I give a puncher's chance to that Japanese horse, that Matera Sky, just on a hunch play of mine. I don't see anything else in there. I would die betting. But I just can't wait till tomorrow and the next day. And I love that Slow Down Andy in that fifth race. And I was going to make a big bet on him too, Bobby.
Yeah, that fifth race tomorrow. I think we're getting 5-1. That horse, that's a bizarre line because I think that horse is going to be 2-1 and every
worth. Well, let's hope we get 5-1.
Yeah.
If you get 5-1, me and you will be calling bingo at the old folks' home, Ed. Okay.
All right, Charles. Well, we appreciate your call. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to hearing from you next week, win or lose. But obviously, Charles, Ed Charles has huge convictions, as he always does, but especially with this year's Breeders' Cup. He is against Nick's Go with every bone in his body. He is not a Medina Spirit fan. He thinks that Essential Quality and Hot Rod Charlie, who have been running seemingly together all year long, will do so once again, this time finishing first and second one way or the other in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He's not a Golden Pal fan. He likes Kamari in the turf sprint, loves Jackie's Warrior in the sprint. And you know what? I like hearing strong opinions like that. They're not always opinions that I agree with, but it's good to have strong opinions when you're going to put your hard-earned money down on these races.
Yeah, that's I did the jury with Jason Beam earlier today, and that was a point I made about Breeders' Cup, and not to age you, Bobby, but you do have a few more of these under your belt, and but you know, through the years, hopefully we've both learned, like, it's definitely an exciting day. It used to be a day, now 2 days, and you know, the impulse is to jump in. These are big pools, great horses. You want to play every race, but, you know, really that's just the path to the poorhouse, and you need to have actionable convictions, and Charles is on his way, and that's been a big focus of me this year in my prep. Is I don't feel like I need to have the strong opinion in every race. Yeah, I'll give a pick. That's what we do. But at the end of the day, when Dunbar Road wins the Distaff, I want everyone to know that was my pick. And if I get the juvenile Phillies turf right, great. You know, I'll crow about that too. But you know, to me, it's a weekend where you really want to make sure what you say happens with conviction. And for me, it's Essential Quality and Dunbar Road are the two I'm excited about.
Well, first of all, I can't believe you're not a Malathat fan again this weekend. You've been on her bandwagon basically since the get go, and she's looked phenomenal out here at Del Mar, and she's gonna get a nice trip, it would look like, in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. But I know you're not a Latruska guy, and a controversial tweet that was shown on the infield board yesterday at Del Mar, where you're basically just chiding Latruska and saying that she has no chance of being horse of the year no matter what happens. It was a phenomenal tweet, and I like the conviction. By the way, getting back to our good friend Charles in Mississippi, how'd you like how he took me on the carpet when I tried to put Maxfield in there as a good horse that Nick's Go beat? I think he almost threw up into his mouth when he was trying to talk about Max. He will not be hired by Godolphin to do publicity for Maxfield when he enters stud.
No, I would say that he might get the job for Essential Quality, though.
he might get the job for Essential Quality, especially if it runs Essential Quality Hot Rod Charlie or vice versa in this Saturday's Breeders' Cup Classic. We're going to take another break. When we come back, phone lines.
On his point, if I may.
Go ahead.
I mean, he mentioned, like, who's the great horse Nick's goes beaten. The thing with this year's Classic, and I would say an issue in general with the way three-year-olds don't face older until the Breeders' Cup, is, I mean, really none of them, I don't think, would say have beat a great horse yet. Now, the flip side of that is we get to see it Saturday. Whoever wins will have absolutely earned it. So that's what makes it fun. But to me, that's an unfair criticism of Nick's go.
Well, I don't know. I don't know who Nick's goes beaten. I think Maxfield's a very good horse. As far as the three-year-olds go, well, Medina Spirit has already beaten Hot Rod Charlie and Essential Quality. He's beat two great horses, and those horses have proven as they've gone on through the year that they are great horses. Are they all-time legendary horses? I think that's a little too early to say that.
Sure.
You know, this is a very good field, and I think the three-year-olds in general have caught up to the older horses this year. The Medina Spirits, Hot Rod Charlie's, Essential Qualities maybe weren't as fast as the older horses when they were going through the Triple Crown Trail. I think they're at that level now where they can challenge horses like Nick's Go, like Art Collector, like Max Player in the Breeders' Cup Classic this year. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the phone lines are still open. We want to know who you like and dislike in this year's Breeders' Cup. The number to call in, 888-966-4776. You're listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
It's time to prepare for this year's Breeders' Cup, and no website has better study materials than Brisnet.com. Want to get everything you need to handicap the Breeders' Cup World Championships for one low price? Then check out Brisnet's Ultimate Breeders' Cup Handicapping Package at Brisnet.com/plans. For only $25, get all of your favorites for both days, including Ultimate PPs, Picks, and Kelly Riley's International Scouting Report. New this year and included with the package are historical past performances and charts from every Breeders' Cup race since 2011. That's $82 worth of handicapping products, all for just $25. Plus, get 20% off all other Breeders' Cup handicapping reports when you purchase the package. Visit Brisnet.com/plans now and get your ultimate Breeders' Cup handicapping package.
This week's Flair Fact is brought to you by Achieve Equine, maker of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Did you know that no muscle exists below a horse's knee? This reduces the energy needed to move the leg as it swings backwards and forwards during locomotion. Long tendons across joints transfer muscle forces to the lower bone structures. For more Flair Facts, visit flairstrips.com/learn.
Champions are returning to Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its sixth year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the third graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Black Tie Affair. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Cup edition of the Brisnet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Action Ed DeRosa on until 7 p.m. tonight. Let's head back out to the phones. And Jerry in New Jersey, welcome to the show.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry, how are you?
I'm okay. I just find this Breeders' Cup very disappointing with a few small fields and everything. That just actually annoys me because I don't like small fields. But maybe it's good for some people with singles and pick fives and so on and so forth. But my whole thing is this. Ed says he likes only two horses all day. Is that correct, Ed?
I'm really excited Hello? About two horses. Believe me, I'll be playing other races.
So my question is this. If you only like two horses all day, that means you're only supposed to bet two races the whole day and forget about the rest of the card.
I mean, yeah,
I'm going to take the over on that one.
You know, it's more like, okay, you know, let's say I have $1,000 to play. I could still play an early pick five for $72, have some action. Maybe I get lucky. You know, it's more about making sure your prime bets are used on your strongest opinions. But I don't begrudge anyone, and mainly this is just me making sure I'm not a hypocrite, wanting to have action all day in the big pools.
Let's suppose I have $1,000 to bet. So if I love two horses, I'm betting figure 200 to 200 in each horse. It's $400, it's $800, and you know, $200, just throw around, like you say, for $72 here and so on and so forth, you know? But, like, I don't know. I've been betting horses a long time. I love betting only pretty much pick fives. That's pretty much what my game is. And, you know, days like Saturday, usually, those are the days you're supposed to spend a lot more money than you. Like, if you normally spend $72 ticket, you do a $210 ticket. You throw the extra money in or whatever. But you can really get paid. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I bet horses 5 days a week, 4 or 5 days
a week. Yeah.
Monday and Tuesday, I don't bet horses. And you know, like, when you listen to all the radio stations, I mean, you get so many. I mean, I don't want, you know, the truth of the matter is, I don't want anybody's opinion because I'm betting my money.
Right. There's a lot of opinions out there.
So I don't understand something. Jerry, clarify something for us. So you said you had mentioned something about hypothetically $1,000, and if you like two horses, you're betting 200, 200, and that's on each of them. Then so that's 800. But then you said you like playing the pick five. So would you be more apt to betting win in place on your best opinions those opinions in the pick five?
Oh, no. If I love horses, and it's going to be 3-1, 4-1, 5-1, 10-1, 21. I don't care what the price is. I really don't care. Actually, I don't like favorites, to tell you the truth. And I would bet more on a horse that I love, that's a price, than if just suppose the horse was 8-5, I'd probably back off on the bet or whatever. I mean, if horse is even money, only thing an even money shot could do is maybe be part of a pick five, just suppose if the horse is a lock or whatever. I mean, otherwise, forget about it. I mean, yeah, I caught the pick five. On $80 bet today, if you need it, right? I mean, the 3-5 shot in the fourth race, he was the lock, or 2-5, whatever the heck the horse was. The fifth race, I only used a 2 and a 6. The first race, he used 5. Second race, he used 4. And third race, I used 4 horses, and boom. And they caught the pick 5. But, you know, like, that's what I like to do. That's what I like to do. I mean, you know, like, I've been betting horses, like I said, since 65, before they even had these pick fours, pick fives, and exactas and trifectas or whatever. So I've been betting horses a long time, and I bet horses a certain way. You know, track by
Jerry, before we let you go, Jerry, is there any one horse you really like over the 2 days in the Breeders' Cup?
Tell you the truth, I really didn't even look at it yet. That's the God's honest truth, I swear to God. Didn't even look at it yet.
Well, you got a lot of homework to do, and we really appreciate your call, Jerry. You're going to be burning the midnight oil tonight because you got 5 tomorrow and you got 9 on Saturday, and obviously a lot of work to do. Even though there's a couple short fields, in those races. Most of them are full fields and tough races to handicap. And Ed, Jerry's got his opinions. He likes to play the races 5 days a week. And, you know, it's a big day this Saturday with the Breeders' Cup. But in Jerry's world, it's Saturday. And, you know, I think he's more worried about finishing out today and getting through tomorrow before he worries about Saturday. And, you know, there are a lot of people who do that.
No, it's a grind. You know, I play my 5 days a week are Monday through Friday. Just fortunate in what I get to do for a living makes it easier to play the ponies than when I'm with my kids. So I don't shy away from the early tracks. But, yeah, I mean, every day is an opportunity for sure. And, you know, the same lessons that I talked about, being judicious with your bankroll and exercising capital with the better horses, I mean, that all applies any day of the week or year. But, you know, Breeders' Cup, Derby, those type of days, we definitely tend to just get excited about the menu and jump all in. And it's important to take a step back and make sure, you're pointed in terms of what your best plays are.
And there are several people out there who have made their selections a month in advance, not caring what post position or what the opposition is, knowing I like this horse in the Breeders' Cup, whatever. And I don't think that's necessarily the best way to go. It's nice to see where they're drawn and how they're doing going into the race. Let's go to that Breeders' Cup Distaff, which is the 10th race on Saturday. And it sounds like that's one of two races that you have big convictions about. I know that you are not a Letruska fan this Saturday. She is 8-5 on the morning line and trying to get her 7th win of this year. You are on Dunbar Road. It has been a long time since a drink of water for Dunbar Road. At one point, she was looking like she could be one of the best fillies in the country, but she's been riding a losing streak of late. In fact, she's lost 6 races in a row. I can tell you for a fact, I loved her in the La Troyenne on Derby weekend at Churchill Downs, and she was awful that day. She looked like she was sitting a good trip, and she just had nothing down the lane. Now, she is improving since then, but what is it about Dunbar Road at 15-1 that attracts you the most?
I thought, knowing that there's some talent there, and with some trainers, when the light bulb goes off, there's not a lot of trust. In terms of, can they even get this horse back around? Chad Brown is not one of those trainers, but certainly understand the commentary about her maybe of going the wrong way. I thought the personal ensign where she missed by just less than a length to Letruska, she was 4th. I thought that hinted that some of the ability was coming back. Then in the spinster, she got beat by a wider margin, although she finished 2nd, so she beat more horses home. But Letruska, I thought, had a little easier on the front end in the spinster than she did in the personal ensign. I expect the Distaff to be more like the personal ensign. Ergo, Dunbar Road will have more pace to close into. And Chad Brown, I just trust him that, you know, this filly is, or mare now, is in training for a reason. It pointed for the Breeders' Cup. She hit her marks on the way here, and at 15-1, this is just one of those, hey, good horses go off at good prices in the Breeders' Cup, and hopefully she's it.
All right, Dunbar Road, outside post, 15-1 in the Breeders' Cup Saturday at Del Mar. Let's head back out to the phones. Michael in Saratoga Springs, welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we doing tonight?
Hey, Michael.
Great, Michael. How are you?
Hi. Good, good. I'm great. I have some strong opinions. It's been a while since I've called in, but, I have Oviatt Class, okay, in the juvenile, and I know I'm going to get a lot of grief for him. I love him, and I might play him in exactas. But my bet of the day, and of the 2 days, of the year, is Essential Quality. He is such a rare horse. I don't think Nick's Go. I'm a big person who I believe in the way races are run based on things like track configuration, distances, et cetera. And Nick's Go hasn't had to come out of a chute and go that entire quarter of a mile into the turn. So I'm going to throw him out. He's not even going to hit the superfecta. Nick's Go is 5th or worse. And I'm playing it like that. I like Dunbar Road a little bit also. That's a good call. And I like Tribuvon for Chad in the turf. Those are my strongest opinions, a couple of favorites, a couple of long shots. Dunbar Road, I really like. I think she's got a shot, too.
Well, let me ask you, Michael, before we let you go. It seems like everyone we've spoken to likes Essential Quality. Not everybody likes Nick Sko. Do you think the morning line was incorrect for the Breeders' Cup Classic? Yes. Should have Essential Quality be the morning line favorite?
Yes. He's the horse that is a two-year-old champion. He's won everything but the Kentucky Derby when he ran about 11 furlongs and had a bad break and blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I'm not thinking about making excuses either, but yes, I believe that the horse players who bet their money, and I think also a lot of like casual fans, I think $2 fans. Central Quality has like fan pages on Facebook and stuff. I know Nick Sko does too, but I don't know. For some reason, he's a beautiful horse. I love Nick Sko. Don't get me wrong. I just don't see him winning at a mile and a quarter against this caliber of horses. And so, yeah, I kind of agree with you. Central Quality might be 6-5, Nick Sko 8-5, 9-5, something like that.
All right, Michael, thank you for your call. Really appreciate it. Ed, it sounds like Michael thinks the morning line is incorrect and that Essential Quality should have been favored on the line. I think you're probably in that camp as well.
Yeah, and I had a tweet, I don't know, maybe it was a week ago, maybe two, where I said Essential Quality is going to be favored, isn't he? And, you know, I feel for the line maker because I think, you know, you kind of shied at this earlier. Just like there's some out there who may make their picks well in advance, you know, John has the duty of making a line for all of these races, every horse, and the work just needs to get done at some time. It's not going to happen in 30 minutes after the draw. So preparations need to be made. And I'm thinking that he just probably psyched himself out where, Nick Sko's going to be favored. He won a more recent race. He won his prep, grade one winner, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, just over the last couple of weeks, getting a feel for who likes, you know, what horses, who's training well, not that Nick Sko isn't, but all the talk is just gravitated toward Essential Quality. And I would say he is going to be the favorite.
All right, we're going to take one more break, come back with one last segment. This is the Breeders' Cup edition of the Bristnet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
We'll take charge of late run. Oh, it's so mucho, mucho, man. The more they ask, the more he gave.
Only on HRRN.
It's time to prepare for this year's Breeders' Cup, and no website has better study materials than Bristnet.com. Want to get everything you need to handicap the Breeders' Cup World Championships for one low price? Then check out Bristnet's Ultimate Breeders' Cup Handicapping Package at Bristnet.com/plans. For only $25, get all of your favorites for both days, including Ultimate PPs, Picks, and Kelly Riley's International Scouting Report. New this year and included with the package are historical past performances and charts from every Breeders' Cup race since 2011. That's $82 worth of handicapping products, all for just $25. Plus, get 20% off all other Breeders' Cup handicapping reports when you purchase the package. Visit Bristnet.com/plans now and get your Ultimate Breeders' Cup Handicapping Package.
This week's Flair Fact is brought to you by Achieve Equine, maker of Flair Equine Nasal Strips. The word colic means pain from the abdominal cavity. Although most often it is the digestive organs, such as the small intestine or large intestine, that cause this pain, there are many other organs that can be causing colic. Examples of these are kidneys, spleens, and ovaries. For more Flair Facts, visit flairstrips.com/learn.
Hey, this is Bobby Newman. Join me every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Race Day, presented by Twin Spires. We'll be discussing all of the important happenings in the world of horse racing, as well as covering great live racing from tracks like Belmont, Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, Churchill, Santa Anita, and Del Mar. That's Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219, XM 201, and online at horseracingradio.net.
Yo guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Bristnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment of the Breeders' Cup edition of the BriskNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa taking you until 7 p.m. this evening. Let's head back out to the phone. Steve in New York, welcome to the show.
Bobby, Ed, what's going on, fellas? Happy
Breeders'
Day. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good, good. Ed, I know you're on to some bigger and better things. I just want to say all the best, man. I hope it's all good for you in your career.
And thank you. I'm excited. I appreciate that.
No, definitely. And real quick, I'll give you guys one Breeders' Cup opinion. I could be way wrong, but tomorrow, Jack Christopher, up the track. Up the track. Maybe not up the track, but out the exacta. This horse looks to me. Go ahead, Bobby.
I need to know a reason behind that. It can't just be that you're against the horse. There has to be a reason why.
All right, I'll give it to you. When I look at this horse, I don't see two turn route horse. This horse actually looks a lot to me like Jackie's Warrior. The way everything about this horse, his confirmation, his build, he looks fast. Even if in that champagne, you saw that Pletcher was coming to him. I don't think he had much more left after that. And I know Ed looks at the sheets. You know, he's going the wrong way with the distances. So I think, you know, when they turn for home, I think those Pletchers will be coming. I like them both. I like the Pletcher in the Futurity and the one that ran in the Champagne. And I think Bob has some really good two-year-olds, obviously, that'll be hanging around. But I don't see – I think when they hit about mid-stretch, that horse is going to start stopping. So that's my opinion. I'm going to play my whole weekend through that and hope for the best.
All right, Steve, thank you so much for giving us a call. Steve is against the favorite Jack Christopher in tomorrow's Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He likes actually the two Todd Pletcher trainees, Longshot Double Thunder, who ran second in the Breeders' Futurity in his most recent start in Command Performance, who was actually second to Jack Christopher in the Grade 1 Champagne at Belmont Park early part of October. Ed, I don't necessarily agree with that opinion, but it is a good opinion. And you know what? If you can beat Jack Christopher, you can get a price. I'm actually completely against the other favorite in the race. I don't like Corniche for one little bit in that race. I'm not sure he's a better router than a sprinter, and I definitely don't like him out of the 12 hole.
No, I'm against as well. I don't love Jack Christopher either, admittedly. Certainly like Jack Christopher better than Corniche, but we worked this magic last year, Bobby. Which I loved Essential Quality, so we had sort of a key horse that I'm lacking this year. But nevertheless, there are two horses in this year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile Field who have triple-digit BriskNet late pace ratings in their last race. One is the Romans horse, who I'm blanking on his name, Joe Talamo up. The other is Oviatt Class with Kent DeSormo. And last year, the two horses who qualified under that were Hot Rod Charlie at 90-1, and Keep Me in Mind at, I don't know, 40-something-1. And they completed the try behind Essential Quality. So my strategy for this race, I don't care who wins. I just need Oviatt Class or the Romans trainee in the number.
And the Romans trainee is Giant Game, 30-1 on the morning line for the Albaugh Family Stables. Of course, they're going to be represented strongly in the Juvenile Fillies by Juju's Map. Wasn't that long ago that the Albaugh Stables were in the headlines for this Breeders' Cup Juvenile with Dennis's Moment. He was a heavy favorite to win back in 2019, and boy, it just all went wrong when the gate opened for him that day. He stumbled badly, was last early on, and it took him forever to get back to form. I don't know I don't even know right now if he's in the same form he was when we saw him win the Iroquois as a two-year-old that year. But he is coming off a win, is Dennis's Moment, and back in training.
Yes.
Very interesting renewal.
I believe Dirt Mile Entrant Eight Rings was in that juvenile with Dennis's Moment.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's probably the worst Breeders' Cup juvenile that we've seen in a long, long time as far as what the horses from that race have gone on to do. Of course, Storm the Court, the horse who won the race, has gone on maybe to the biggest success, but he hasn't been a superstar by any means. And the other horses who were in there, I mean, Eight Rings, never lived up to the hype that I think everyone was hoping. Dennis's Moment certainly didn't. I mean, the funny thing was, early part of that week in 2019, Ed, you may remember, it was a three-horse discussion of who's going to win the juvenile. It was Dennis's Moment, Eight Rings, and Maxfield. And unfortunately, Maxfield was injured early part of the week and never got to run in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And I don't think anyone would disagree that, despite what Charles may think of Maxfield, he by far turned out to be the best of those 2019 Breeders' Cup Juvenile runners.
Yeah, no, I'd say that's fair for sure.
And by the way,
although
we're going to
Storm the Court
see Maxfield,
placed in the Ohio Derby.
Yeah, well, I'm not really sure what it says for that Ohio Derby either, but you know what? They
did you
have
call
grades
skip-away?
In front of them. Skip away, yes, and two or three others as well when I was out there at Thistledown in the late 90s. So it was a lot of fun out there, and got to see some good horses come through, especially when it was Ohio Derby time. There's one race that I want to ask you about that we really haven't talked about at all on the program, and that is the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. And it's really an Americans versus the world. About half of the field are Euro runners, half of the field here from America. You've got Love in the race, who was so well talked about last year, never got to run in the Breeders' Cup. She has not been her best this year. You've got the defending champ, Odaria, in the field. And you've got Warlike Goddess, who has been just absolutely tremendous for trainer Bill Mott here in the States. What's your opinion of the race?
Did you mention the Japanese horse?
I did not.
Love's Only You. That to me... You know, as far as like international wild cards go in the Breeders' Cup, which is part of the fun of the event, I'm not sure I've ever had one like this. You know, comes in with the credentials, has shipped internationally before, which is not necessarily something we're used to with Japanese runners. Seems to have turned every head you would want to in terms of the impression she's made. You know, I actually think she might go favored. You know,
Ed, I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to cut you off really quick, Ed. We have a very special guest on the phone right now for your finale here on the Brisnet.com call-in show. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, is on the line. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Bobby, what's happening, Ed? My main man, what's going on?
Yeah, just trying to get through this without you.
Couldn't do it, man. Couldn't do it.
coming to an end. 7 years?
7 years. It was, honestly, most weeks, my favorite hour of the week. And I just want to thank you and all the callers for that. It was a pleasure. You and I have talked what we've built with this program. Never pulled any punches, never shied away from any topics. And I'm proud to call you a colleague. More importantly, proud to call you a friend. Best of luck over at HRN.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I found the picture of our first meeting in 2014, and happy to say we've both shed some lbs since then, and more importantly, developed a great professional and personal friendship. And that won't end, even though our time on this program has. And James Scully's already bragged about the microphone Michelle Penna sent him, so... The show sounds like it's in good hands, but we'll certainly miss the times we had, Anthony.
With Bobby and James.
Listen, I have to tell you this, Anthony. We're running out of time, but I think you've worn off on Ed. He is so far behind Dunbar Road as one of his big plays on Saturday. You should be proud.
I even texted Anthony. I said, am I crazy?
I said, yes, but not for liking Dunbar Road. Guys, great job as always, Ed. We'll cross paths again, I'm sure, Bobby.
You know it.
My baby.
All right, buddy. Glad to hear from you, buddy, and keep doing the good work up there at Niwa. We love watching you. All right, our good friend, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, calling in on Ed's final edition of the Brisnet.com call-in show. It's been a lot of fun, Ed. Wish you the best of luck tomorrow, especially in the next few days if we're betting the same horses. On behalf of our producer, Lee Delapina, and my co-host, Ed DeRosa, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us on the Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Once again, tomorrow, Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, 3 to 4:30. The Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Bets, 4:30 to 5:30. And live coverage of the Breeders' Cup right here on HRRN, starting at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow.